bless you this evening. Let us all stand. Open our service tonight in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are indeed grateful to be with you this Wednesday. Lord, just to be able to put our weeks aside and, Lord, to be able to focus on you and your word tonight, Father. Lord, we come expecting what you'd have for us today, Lord, that it would help us just to grow in that likeness of you just a little more, Father. As we gather together tonight, Father, may you be in our songs, be with the words that are spoken tonight. May you be with Brother Brian as he speaks. Bless us now as we've joined in your name tonight, Father. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We'll sing God is Good. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. Oh, God is good all the time. If you're walking through the valley, and there's shadows all around, do not fear, for He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound, 'cause He's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And His word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. Oh, God is good all the time. We were sinners, so unworthy. Still for us He chose to die. Filled us with His Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify that His love, it's everlasting, and His mercy, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. Oh, God is good all the time. Amen. Number 612, as the deer panteth for the water. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone desire and I long to worship Thee. You are my friend and You are my brother, even though You are my King. Oh, I want You more than any other, so much more than anything. For You alone are my strength, my shield. To You alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. Oh, I want You more than gold or silver, only You can satisfy. Oh, You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. For You alone are my strength, my shield. To You alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. Amen. At this time, we'll take our prayer request to the Lord this evening. Does anyone have one they'd like to make known this time? Amen. We ask that You remember Ella in prayer. We spent about 4 hours at the hospital having surgery today, so we pray the Lord would heal her arm completely. They got it all fixed back and some pins put in there, and so she's doing good. She woke up on a little hysterical side because of the anesthesia and stuff, so didn't know what was going on and stuff. So a little bit hard on parents, and I'm tired, probably more so than she is even. So remember her in prayer. Let's continue to remember Brother Caleb. He's the one that needs heart surgery. Also for Brother John's mother. Also continue to remember the Collins, Brother Collins' family, as they recover from their loss. Also continue to remember Brother Brian Chips for his continued healing. Also for Brother John McCray. Requests related to health is Brother Bill Caldwell, Brother Daniel Mambuka in Congo, Brother Daniel Fungus in Australia, and also for Brother Brian Miller in England. Amen. All Your unspoken prayer requests can be known by an uplifted hand. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for everything that You do for us in our lives, Father, and Lord, we want to lift these requests before You tonight, Lord, that You would take each one of them, Father, and grant them, Lord, according to Your word, and Lord, for those that need healing in their body, Lord, and Lord, those for that need healing in their spirit or their soul, Father, for the loss of loved ones or whatever the case may be, Father, You know us, Father, so Lord, we lift these requests before You so that You can attend to them, Father, and that Your grace and mercy may abound before us. Lord, we just ask that You would be with us in this service tonight, Father. May everything that's done and said be glorifying to You, Father, and Lord, may our worship be acceptable to You tonight, Father, and Lord, we just look forward to what You'd have for us in Your word, Father, and we thank You in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Number 316, Sanctuary. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Oh, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. O Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen. God bless you now. Let us all stand and we'd sing Only Believe as we ask Brother Brian to come tonight. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe, only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's all remain standing, and we're going to open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll read from verse 38, Galatians 3 and 1, or 11, Habakkuk 2 and 4, and Romans 1, 17 for our text. Now, Paul says in Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. Again, Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And Habakkuk 2:4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith, by his faith. And Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we have read these four scriptures, Lord, knowing one from the Old Testament, three from the New. And yet, Father, we know that Martin Luther, the church age messenger, a couple back, Lord, he spent his entire ministry going into that scripture and showing how the just shall live by faith. Then we find that John Wesley came along, and many people looked at what John Wesley brought out on sanctification. They think it was different from Martin Luther because they didn't see the works in Martin Luther, but they begin to see works coming forth in the people during John Wesley. But yet John Wesley looked at the same verse, and he saw something a little bit more than what Martin Luther saw. Martin Luther focused on the just and faith, the faith that brings us to our justification. But John Wesley saw the word live in there. The just shall live by faith. And so he began to focus on that life. And that life brought forth sanctification, a second work of grace. And that led to Pentecost, where they begin to see that there's an outpouring of your Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the gifts in the church. And so, Father, we ask you to help us, O God, to look at these words, to see them in the light of your prophet, in the light of the hour. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening I want to examine this thought concerning the just shall live by faith a little deeper, because there's something here that really should, that we should understand, and that is the way always with revelation. Notice, the just shall live by revelation. And, Romans, he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from revelation to revelation, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by revelation. And so, we find that Martin Luther began to focus on that revelation which brings justification. And then as that revelation began to break even further, John Wesley, he saw the word live in the same sentence that Wesley was, and the just shall live by revelation. So we're going to look at this, and we see that always revelation is like a Roman candle. It breaks forth, then a little bit more comes out of that, a little bit more comes out of that, a little bit more comes out of that. So first you see something, then it gets plainer and plainer, until each time that you look at it, it becomes more real than the previous time. And as you gaze upon it more and more, you see more than what you saw previously. It's kind of like those 3D pictures that they have today. At first they look to be a bunch of wavy lines and dots, but as you begin to focus upon it and block out everything else from your vision, then as though someone turns on a light switch, you begin to see what was hidden on the surface. And it's amazing, after looking at it after a while, that you can pop in and out of that picture almost at will. Yes. So basically the question is, then why was it so hard to begin with? Because your mind wasn't focused on it. Why is it so hard for people to understand that the prophet brought forth, thus saith the Lord, and God came down with a shout? Because their minds aren't focused on it. They're focused on something else. Now, this is what I wanted to get across this morning. Now, Brother Branham was quoting Paul and Martin Luther when he said, the just shall live by faith. Now, he was talking in the context of life coming forth, and we're going to get to his quote in just a minute. But he called it the first sprout of life coming forth in Martin Luther's message, the just shall live by faith. Now, before we go any further, I want to read several quotes on this subject, because, like any revelation, if we hold to it but close ourselves off to further light, then that very thing that God blessed us with can also become a curse as well. Just like the serpent on the pole that Israel was told to look at and live, but once it began to worship that serpent on the pole, it became a curse to the people, and God had to destroy it. Now let me begin this evening by reading several quotes from Brother Branham, showing the importance of having the right attitude towards divine revelation, no matter how it comes. We must be open to whatever God has for us, but the problem is sometimes we get revelation from God on a certain subject and then reject any further light from God or that God has for us, because we close up to anything besides what we have already received. So I'm going to read you four quotes from Brother Branham, and I want you to follow along with Brother Branham's thinking here, his progress, his progression of thinking, as we read them through, because there is much to be learned in what he tells us here. From you must be born again. He said, now, there's many times that we begin to think that, well, if we are born again and we got happy and shouted and spoke with tongues or manifested God in some way, that's it. But brethren, you know, as ministers yourself, but that's not it. Now, you've seen people jump and shout and dance and eat and then steal and lie and everything else, like adultery and fornication and everything else. See? And we know that. So that isn't what he was talking about. And when Martin Luther said, the just shall live by faith, he said, we got it. And John Wesley came along with something new. And Luther was, and he was right so far as he said, the just shall live by faith. It's all right. They shall live by faith. And Luther said that the just shall live by faith. Then we must do that. And he thought that he had it, but we found out that he hadn't. In other words, Brother Brown was telling us that Martin Luther's group stopped with what Martin Luther had brought them. And by doing so, it stopped their progress in their walk with God, and they went from walking in the light into darkness by rejecting further light. Now the Bible tells us in 1 John 3, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So the key here is that we continue walking in the light as he is continuing to walk in the same light. In other words, we continue to walk as the pillar fire keeps moving, because once we stop, if that pillar of fire continues moving, then soon the light will leave us, and we'll be in total darkness. That's what happened with Israel. You know, when the pillar of fire moved, they moved. But when the pillar of fire stopped, they stopped. They set up their tents and they stopped. Then when the pillar of fire moved again, they picked up their tents and they began to move. So the key is to walk with him in the light. We stop when he stops, but we move again when he moves again. Just like Israel did with the pillar of fire. So again, let's just read another quote from Have Faith with God. Or have faith in God. Brother Brown said, the first time the rule was ever made or laid across the Word of God, in other words, you got a ruler, like, and he says, the first time the rule was ever laid across the Word of God, now how do you measure it tonight? What value has the Word of God got to you? Now look, Christian, Martin Luther come out. He laid it across Catholicism and he found out that the just shall live by faith. He left a great gap there. Many things passed through it, but he believed that the just shall live by faith. And he stepped out on it because God's word said so. He measured God's word out to the people. Just shall live by faith. Along came a little fellow from England by the name of John Wesley, and he measured to the people a little bit closer. In other words, like getting a magnifying glass and going in and going in and going in, or taking your microscope and going in, and you find more and more and more in that little realm. All right? So he kept the ruler in a little closer, could measure closer. Sanctification. As they call it in them days, the second work of grace. Now look what he done. He introduced holiness to the church. Why? Because he not only saw the just shall live by faith, you know, Martin Luther, the just, justification, and faith, he focused on that, but now you've got the just shall live. How? By the same faith. So it's not only justification, but there's a life that's got to be. You see? So sanctification came out of justification. All right. It's from the same verse of Scripture. Now notice that just shall live by faith was right, but so was sanctification. Now the problem is that many followed Luther, but then denied further light, further revelation on that light, and when Wesley brought out the second work of grace, which was sanctification, many balked at it and said, no, 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 you're not saying what Luther said. That's right. That's what they did. We must believe in faith alone. Yeah, that's what they did. But he saw something that Luther preached, but Luther didn't focus on it. In other words, Luther brought it out, but he didn't. You know, it's like Brother Brown said, you know, sometimes we take healing and we make a major out of a minor. Well, Luther didn't make a major on the life. He just made a major on the faith and justification by faith. Faith alone, all right? Solo, you know, creed. Okay, so. But when the people that had been walking in the light with Luther and they saw Wesley come along, many of the people just stopped. They said, he's adding to. He's got his own revelation. He's got his own message. But he said, no, this is what Paul preached. You see, if you take the life of John Wesley, he didn't even begin to preach on sanctification until he came to Aldersgate and they read to him from the preface of Martin Luther's book on Romans, where he began to see justification by faith. The just shall live by faith. And he saw that life coming out of that justification. Now you see, the just living by faith were living in that revelation, but many eventually began to think that faith is just a mental acceptance of the word, and where they didn't believe that there was a life that should be lived or involved. But Wesley saw that the just shall live by faith and realized then that there had to be a little life. There had to be a life that expressed the faith to be truly justified. And that is what Brother Branham is bringing to our attention in these two quotes. How faith must grow if it is truly alive. For without a growth, there is no life. Now, the third quote I wish to bring to our attention is from God's Only Provided Place of Worship, where Brother Branham said, but then the first little sprout of life, it come forth in the Reformation by Martin Luther. That the just shall live by a blessed kosher that a priest does? No, but by the word of God. The just shall live by faith. It brought two sprigs, the corn of wheat, begin to grow. Then along come John Wesley and added to that. John Wesley did what? He added to that. He didn't bring something separate. He didn't bring something new. He didn't bring something contrary, like they say that I'm doing. You know, I'm preaching contrary to Brother Vail. No, I'm preaching the same thing he preached. Only I'm going in a little bit deeper. I'm focusing on certain things. And anybody that's heard that tape, you know, him talking to me, he said, Brian, we've got to focus on the life. He said, we understand the doctrine, but we got to have the life or we're going to make it. All right? And that life has got to come out of the faith, brother, sister, or you've got nothing. Really. If you've got a revelation of Godhead and you don't have a life that follows, if you don't have the same revelation Jesus had, what good does it do for you to know that Jesus had this wonderful relationship with his Father? You see? Unless you have it yourself. Now, he did not say Wesley came and brought forth another light, but he added to what light they had already had by looking at the just shall live by faith. So he saw a missing element in Luther's exhortation of Paul's words, and that was the word live, the just shall live by faith. Then Brother Branham explains how that Wesley's further light was not something different than what Luther had, but a further light upon the words of Paul that Luther had brought out. Then Brother Branham shows us an example of others who came with their own revelation, but those revelations were wrong, and not a continuation of the life growing up, but rather a divergence from the original life. And so Brother Branham goes on to say, there was many of the others that like Zwingli and them, they came forth and they even denied the virgin birth, and it just died down. But along come the Methodists, the tassel, the pollen, the missionary day, and they preach sanctification, added the tassel. Then along come the Pentecost and the shuck, so much to deceive the elected. Look like a real grain of wheat, open it up, there's no wheat at all, but the life was passing through the shuck. So you had justification, sanctification, and now you had a full expression in the body of the gifts. Okay? So we see the continuity of the light and life. Light and life, light and life. Now, let's read another quote from Brother Branham, and this one is really going to break down what I'm trying to get across tonight. So let's just we'll read this slowly and review it very closely. From his sermon, Man That Can Turn On the Light, Brother Branham said, and I say this with all love and respect, so is there something spiritually wrong with a man that'll run back into denominational creed and refuse to see Bible light when it's shining right before him? There's something wrong with him. He goes back into his creeds and forms, and he shuts the door, and he says, there is no such thing as that. The days of miracles is past. There's no such a thing as divine healing. There's none of these things. That was for an apostle. An apostle. See, an apostle one. That man is spiritually crazy. Now, that's not my words. That's Brother Branham's words. See, there's something wrong with him. He pulled down the curtains, and he rejected the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that can come upon him. If he can, now, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then, the light shining upon his word, ask what you will. See? There's something wrong that he would reject the God-given source that God has given to us to live by his word. The just shall live by faith. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Not part of the word, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Notice, Brother Branham, bring it up. The just shall live. His word, the life. The just shall live by faith. Man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Not a part of the word. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And when a man would just refuse that, there's something wrong with that person, something wrong with his experience, that he claims to love God and then refuses God. There's something gone wrong with that person. We know without a shadow of a doubt, he rejects it, runs into that place and says, now, I don't want to know nothing about it. Don't tell me nothing about these things. I don't believe nothing about it. See, don't matter what you say. Now, I sat here almost 5 years ago, and I tried to share John 14:12 as further light upon what Brother Vail had brought out concerning the relationship between Father and Son. I tried to get across to the brethren and try to tell them, I said, look, I got 50 quotes I can give you right now if you want to listen to them. Oh, I'm not interested. I got Brother Vail. That was rejecting further light. Now, I've nothing against those brothers. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm just saying, this is what Brother Brown's talking about. When God brings further light, we've got to be open to that further light. He goes on and says, a fellow not long ago, I was telling you about it, he said, I don't care if you bring 50 cancers and bring 50 doctors to testify to them, I don't believe. I don't care if you'd raise up the dead right before me, I wouldn't believe it. See, there's something wrong with that person. See? And yet the man was a minister, see, supposed to be a minister, but just because that organization doesn't believe in the powers of God, don't believe that the word meant just what it is, what it said, the man runs into his basement, old, musty, dirty, filthy basement of an organization and refuses the warmth and the life-giving rays of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then there's something wrong with that person, see? He would rather live in that must and darkness and so forth than to live in the light of God and the Bible that said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The works that I do shall you do also, even greater than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. There's something wrong with that person. without a question at all, there's something wrong. And to you men that's listening to this across the world, wherever you may be, there's something wrong with your experience when you say that you love God and refuse His Word. There's something. You refuse the very... No wonder the things can't... The church is in its condition and things cannot be done as God promises. It's because you won't even receive the Word or walk in the light. Now, the Bible said, let us walk in the light as He is in the light. Then the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Sin is unbelief. Then if we are walking in God-given light of the hour, then God takes that word that's given for the hour and He vindicates it just like He did in Genesis 1 and 3. He said, let there be light, and the light came forth. His word went forth and light followed it, and it cleared away the mist. And the darkness went to one corner and the light shined on the other side. That's the way God does today. He sends His word for this hour and the Holy Spirit comes and makes that word live. And the darkness onto their creeds and denominations, but light shines because it's the Word of God being vindicated that His Word is true. Now, there's nothing fictitious about that. That's just exactly scriptural. All right. Now, that's why I said the parousia is right, because Jesus first mentioned it, that it would come to us. Then Paul, then Peter, then James and John. Then William Branham came along himself and said, my ministry is to declare Him that He's here. And 94% of what Jesus said, what Paul said, what Peter said, what James and John said, has already come to pass. That is light upon the Word, vindicating it and bringing it to its full manifestation. So what did Paul mean then when he said the just shall live by faith? Well, let's read it very slowly together. The just, okay, those who are justified, shall live. There's a life involved by revelation. So we see here that faith is what gives us light. And remember that Brother Branham taught us in the rapture message that faith is a revelation. So we see here then that the just shall live. By what? By revelation. Revelation then is what gives us life. Now, we're not talking about this earthly human life, but what we're speaking of is this God life, eternal life. Now, how do we receive eternal life since there is only one source of eternal life, and that is God's own life? How do we receive it? By revelation. The just shall live by revelation. In Galatians 3 and 11 we read, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith, by revelation. Now, what does this mean? The just shall live by faith. The Amplified Version says it this way. Now, it is evident that no person is justified, that is, to be declared righteous and brought into a right standing in God's presence through the law. For the Scripture says, the man in right standing with God shall live by and out of faith. And he who through and by faith is declared righteous and therefore is right standing in God's presence shall live. We read also Hebrews 10, 38-11:1. Now the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not even seen. Now, what then is this unseen thing that faith is the evidence of? It is the life of the Word. You can't see life, but you can see the manifestation of life. Right? You can't see the Spirit in a seed, but you can see the manifestation when that seed grows up and manifests itself. And that's what Brother Branham was explaining to us in those four quotes that we read. So we're looking at life from revelation. In Romans 1, verse 16 to 21, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness or the right wiseness of God revealed from faith to faith, from revelation to revelation, as it is written, the just shall live by revelation. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness or ungodlikeness and unright wiseness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hold it down. The word is kateko. They hold it back. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Now, I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, is God's power working salvation into everyone who believes. For in the gospel, a right wiseness to do with which God ascribes is revealed, both springing up from faith and also leading to greater faith." In other words, revelation gives us the right wiseness to live right. It's all about a life. In other words, this gospel contains a right thinking that takes revelation to see, and once it is revealed, it leads to more and more revelation. And as it is written, "The man who through faith is just and upright in his thinking shall live and shall live by faith." Not only shall he live, but he shall live by faith. Notice it says, "Through faith he shall live, and his living is by faith." Now, Brother Branham said in the Church Age book, "Out of the church ages comes the seals, and out of the seals comes the trumpets, and out of the trumpets comes forth the vials. Like the first burst of a Roman candle, the church ages come forth with a mighty illumination, without which there could be no further light. But once the brilliance of the seven church ages is given by divine revelation, light upon light follows, until the whole of the revelation opens wide before our wandering eyes, and we, edified by and purified by His Spirit, are made ready for His glorious appearing, even our Lord and Savior, the one true God, our Lord Jesus Christ." So we see that in Romans 1 and verse 18, where Paul says, "For God's holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unright wiseness of men, who in their wickedness they repress and they hinder the truth and they make it inoperative." In other words, their unbelief grounds the power, it grounds the current, it grounds the energy to a standstill so that it does not produce what it is ordained to produce. That's why Jesus could not do any miracles in Nazareth. The Bible says because of their unbelief. As Jesus said in the parable of the sower in Luke 8:14, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection or maturity." In other words, the cares of this life drowns out the word, the energy, the life. How many of you ever get really stimulated by listening to tape? All right. What happens when you then turn on a movie? What happens to stimulation? It's grounded. Right? That's exactly what he's talking about. When you're plugged in, when you're focused in, there's life and energy there. But when you're not, it gets grounded out. And if it gets grounded out too long, what happens? Your faith, your whole life, your whole walk begins to backslide. See? Now remember, Jesus could do no mighty works because of the people's unbelief. So it is their own unbelief that suppresses the truth and keeps it back from others. And we will address how that they must do this a little later on in the sermon. I just like to make another point here. And this is why I believe that the fivefold ministry's job is to preach. I believe that it is up to the fivefold ministry to look into the Word. And they go into their study, as Brother Bell always told me, he said, you get your stimulation in there. And I go in there and I just sit back and everything else is out of focus. I put on praise strings and just some Christian music, no words, just the background music. And I get focused on Brother Ram's word or the scriptures here. And God begins to, it's like He opens the door. He gives you a scripture and you look at that scripture and then you open that scripture. It's like a door. And that scripture leads to another scripture and you open that door and it leads to another door and it leads to another door and pretty soon you're walking. It's just like Brother Brown said, from the seals or from the church ages, out of the church ages come the seals, out of the seals come the vials, out of the vials come the trumpets, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, there's a stimulation of revelation. It has to happen. That's why I think that part of our problem today is we've got too many things that are keeping us from being focused. Amen. Well, okay. Now, so their unbelief suppresses the truth, it keeps it back from others. as we see in Matthew 23:13, but woe unto you scribes, Jesus talking to the Pharisees, and Pharisees, you're hypocrites, he said, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Oh, you don't want to hear that, brother. You don't want to listen to that, brother. You know, he's preaching just the opposite of Brother Vail. Is he? How do they even know unless they listen? They won't even listen. They heard somebody say that somebody said that somebody said, and they run with it. Now, here we find men, actually false shepherds, who are keepers of the door, the word, and these won't enter in the word themselves, and they won't allow others who want to enter to go in. Now, why won't they enter? Brother Rapp said, there's something wrong with that person. Now, we're given our answer in the Gospel of John 3:19-21. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than, or in a greater measure than they love light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Notice that this tells you that you find there are two types of people here, those who will enter in and those who won't enter in. Now, what is there about the light that we would never want to enter into it? I've always been of this nature. If somebody says somebody's preaching such and such, I want to go hear it for myself first. I want to hear what the person's saying. I want to actually hear it. I don't want to, you know, it's like, you know, Sister Helena shared a YouTube video, and I looked it up, and there was a fellow that from Congo that was actually a worshiper of William Branham. And the man said some things, according to the video, said some things. And then, I won't even get into it because I don't want to repeat it. But what happened is I've actually contacted brothers in Congo to find out if that's true. Now, if it's true, I'll share the story with you. But if it's not, I won't bother, because, you know, it might be somebody that's against the message take another situation where somebody else just died and they got a picture or two and they, you know, try to make it something that it's not. So we'll find out. But here's the thing. What is in people to want to hold back truth from the people in their congregations? Brother Brown says there's something wrong with a person that would want to go run into the basement and hide their head from light. Notice in the scripture it says, in him was life. And the life is, not was, is the light of men. And then it says, the light shines even in darkness, but those in darkness, they comprehend it not. And because they do not understand it, they will not enter it, and they keep others from entering as well. So instead of searching it and trying to understand it, they will speak evil against it. That happened to John Wesley. If you've ever read John Wesley's testimony, his life story, John Wesley, when he got sparked off by Martin Luther's book on Romans, the preface, he was just like a fireball. He went, and I tell you what, people, they got excited. They heard this guy's got really, you know, he's really attracting the crowds, doing everything else, and he's preaching, and then they'd have him one service, and by the second service, they'd kick him out. They wouldn't let him preach, even though he was scheduled to preach three or four more. So then somebody else would hear it, and they'd invite him, and the same thing would happen over and over again. When he got to that life, people don't want to be told, you're going to be accountable for the life that you're living. People don't want to hear that. See? So what got him invitations? It wasn't what he was preaching. It was the phenomena around the ministry. That's what got Brother Branham invitations, was not his preaching. It was not his teaching. It was the miracles. Like Brother Bosworth said, that's the bait that God uses to catch the hook. All right. That's what Jude tells us. 2 Peter tells us. It says in 2 Peter 2, they speak evil of things they understand not. And in Jude 10, they speak evil of those things that they know not. Now, it's not as though that they have not heard, for they have, for they had not heard it, they would not have spoken evil against it. In other words, Had they not heard it, they wouldn't have said anything about it because they never heard about it, right? But they did say against it, even though they had heard about it. And the Bible says, listen to this, and Brother Branham explains this in his sermons. I just listened to it just a few weeks ago. Brother Branham said, he that comes to a knowledge of the truth, the Bible, he's quoting the Bible, he that comes to a knowledge of the truth, there's no more, and continues to, and willfully disbelieves, there's no more sacrifice for that sin. He said, now, it's not that they came to the truth. They came to a knowledge of it. You see, that's people raising this message. They come to a knowledge of it. They didn't come to it. They came to a knowledge of it, and if they continue on to live in perversion, there's no more sacrifice for that sin. That's what that says. Just came to a knowledge of it. It's not people that got born again and then backslid. You can't. If you've been born of the Spirit of God, you can't backslide. I mean, you can backslide, but you can't lose that Spirit. Now, he might go on and live on you, but you can't lose eternal life. You can't lose. It's a once-for-all sacrifice. But if they come up to the borderline and then refuse to go over, see, those are the ones that were lost in the wilderness. Now, it's as though they have not heard. It's not as though they have not heard, for they had heard it. For had they not heard it, they wouldn't have spoken evil of it. And had they not heard it, they wouldn't know about it, even to speak about it. So really, it comes down to this. They just don't believe it. Now, as John said in 1 John 4 and 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And over in 1 John 3:19, he says, they went out from us because they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. I believe that there is something about this great end time message that is so great that by it and through it, we shall receive immortality. But it is only for the elect. And the others will never understand what you're trying to say and to do, because they are not meant to receive the life that is in this word. Now, Brother Branham said, when word is piled upon word, it will take a hold of every fiber of your body. So if the word is not taking a hold of every fiber of your body, then you're not hearing it. You're not understanding it. Now, if you're feeding on the correct word, then you're actually being anointed over every fiber of your body with eternal life. The word anointing means to be completely covered. It's an anointing. Like when you dip a strawberry in chocolate and it comes up and it's strawberry coated, that's anointed with chocolate, right? So when you pile word upon word upon word, you say, oh, I'm missing a little bit of word here. Missing a little word here. Missing a little word in my actions, my hands, my feet, my tongue. And so you're piling word upon word upon word until you're entirely saturated. You're entirely anointed with the Word. You see, Jesus said in St. John 6:63, my words, there you go, are spirit and they are life. And so then, the reason why we come Wednesday, the reason why we come Sunday is what? Is to hear revelation. We're actually being bathed when we hear the Word. Broken down as it is, we're actually bathed in God's own life. And this is why the Scripture tells us the just shall live by faith. For without faith you will not live. You are dead while you live. So we see here then that the life comes by faith, and faith is a revelation. Now remember, He is the Word and in Him is life. So we see that in the Word is life, eternal life, and Jesus told us that the Word is a seed. And in Luke 8 and 11, Jesus said, the seed is the Word of God. So we see that the Word is a seed, and we know by definition that a seed is a carrier of life. So we must somehow get past the outer skin or husk of that seed if we are to release the life that is in it back upon ourselves. And that is what revelation is all about. It is the opening up of the seed to allow the life in it to come forth. It is not as though God's life has been hidden because God has expressed himself in so many ways as to disclose and reveal his true nature. Yet men, because they are not ordained to see it, and therefore they just don't understand it, they therefore think nothing of it. You know, let me give this illustration. All right, you have a seed. Let's just look at this microphone here. It's a seed. Now, you have to open up that seed and get rid of the husk in order for that seed. It has to break down. You know, it goes into the ground. That rot has to rot. You know, the black walnut has a big outer core, then it has an inner core, and then it has the seed actually inside. You know, it's called the endoderm and the mesoderm, and then you have the endoderm. And you've got that inner derm. You've got that where the life is at. But the outer has to break out. Then the next has to break out. And finally, in the soul of that germ, you have the life. It's the same thing with the fivefold ministry. You know, people would look at Paul, the apostle, and say, well, he's angry. He hated women. You know, they see a man, they see a quick trigger, you know, like Brother Vail, a quick trigger, you know. Well, you know, one brother told me one time, he said, you know, I just can't understand how so much word is coming from such a man that has such a lousy spirit. And I said, you don't understand. I said, the amount of light is the amount of the spirit. When John turned to see the light, he saw the spirit. Jesus said, my words are spirit and their life. So it's there. You're just looking at the outer derm. You're looking at the shell. But you're not looking at that message. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So his heart is what's speaking to you. You understand? It's not just flesh. It's not the, you know, how a man looks. You know, Brother Bell, if you ever saw him before he got his teeth, you know, back around when he was about 80 years old, you remember Brother Steve, Don? He had all his teeth pulled out and he got these $5,000 set of teeth, and I told him, I said, Brother Lee, his bite was worse than his bark, or his bark was worse than his bite. But I said, now with those beautiful teeth, I said, you know, when you smile, it just takes away all the bite. You know, that's the way it is. People look at the shell. They don't see the life. That's why doctrine is so difficult, because people, it's a shell. The doctrine is just a shell. It's not the life itself. The life's in there. So we must know how that we get past the outer skin or the husk of the seed if we're to release the life that is back upon ourselves. And that is what Revelation is all about. It is the opening up of the seed to allow the life in it to come forth. It is not as though God's life has been hidden because God has expressed himself in so many ways as to disclose and reveal his true identity, his true nature. Yet men, because they are not ordained to see it, and therefore they just don't understand it, they therefore think nothing of it. In Romans 1:19, Paul says, for that which is known about God, notice, known about God, not known about God, is evident to them that made plain in their inner consciousness, because God himself has shown it to them. For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, that is, his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made. God made a father, and then he made the father to have children. And what does that tell you? God is a father, and he has children. You understand? His handiwork. So men are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification, because when they knew and recognized him as God, they did not honor and glorify him as God or give him thanks. But instead they became futile and godless in their thinking, with vain imaginations, foolish reasoning, and stupid speculations, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Professing to be smart, they became simpletons of themselves. And by them the glory and majesty and excellence of the immortal God were exchanged for and represented by images resembling mortal men. Now, I get tired of hearing people say, well, you see, the brother, you have to understand, the brother was raised in the message and he never really had a revelation of it, and so he did all these things. And listen, I was raised a Catholic boy. Brother Branham was raised a Catholic boy. He went out at the age of 14 and unset his traps, a Catholic boy whose father was a drunk. Don't tell me that I give everything I got to have had my parents follow Brother Branham like Levon's parents did. Don't tell me any excuses. The Bible says that when they come to the knowledge of the truth and they continue to sin, there's no more sacrifice. Fools will walk with hobnail shoes where angels fear to trot. No excuses, brother or sister. Don't say, well, you know, he was raised in the message and so he never really had a revelation. I don't buy that. If he listened to one tape, listen, those people raising this message, they knew the life that William Branham lived and it was impeccable. And they knew how God, the things that God did and demanded out of that man. So there's just no excuse for that. Now, John said, if they are of God, then they will recognize those who God sends. Even Jesus said in John 13 and 20, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. So to not recognize the one that God sends, or the ones that God sends, shows that we are not of God, and therefore not recipients of life that God has laid up in his seed for us, his word. Now, that not only goes for the prophet messenger to an age, but those also who have been faithfully taught. Ephesians 4 and 7 says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now listen to this. So then we should ask, all right, we've been given grace according to the gift, right? Well, what gift of Christ is he talking about? Why do we need a measure of grace to receive this gift from Christ? Because the gifts God sends to us are not always what we think that we want. In this case, the gift he's speaking of is verse 11, which are a fivefold ministry. And Paul is telling you that you must first have grace to receive this gift from God. And if you didn't have grace to listen to William Branham preach, who Brother Branham himself said, I'm not a preacher. My words are halting. My words are like, you know, an uneducated person. And if you didn't have grace to look beyond the cover and to see God working, then how would you receive that gift? Well, what about Lee Vail? If you didn't have grace in your heart to want the truth, no matter how hard it hurt, then you wouldn't sit 5 minutes and listen to that man. So the gift, the grace, he says, I'm going to give you a gift, but you're going to need grace to receive it. Every fivefold minister has a package called a body, called a personality, called, it might be a stigma to some. And so God gives you grace to receive that gift. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave, not the people voting in a man, but God gave his gift to his church. God gave it. From a greater than Solomon, as your brother Brown said, there's five ordained gifts in the church: apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. Now, that is the five gifts that God has ordained in the church by his foreknowledge. Now, there is a reason that God sends these gifts into his church. And let me tell you something, it's not just to put your finger on a button and play a tape. If that were so, then Jesus Christ would be the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it would have to happen in Paul's day. But they had Peter also. They had John and James also. They had apostles that went forth, men that gave their lives to preach. As the Bible commands us, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. So we must ask ourselves, so what is the reason or reasons that God sends these gifts into the church? And Paul answers that question in Ephesians 4, 12 to 16. He says, for the perfecting, that's the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now here's the thing. Every single denomination started by a Bible truth. But when men focused on and honed on, and they focused in on that one Bible truth, where they made their error is they rejected other truth. other Bible truth. And so they denominated. And we have the same thing in this message. We have men that have denominated on Parousia, and they said anybody outside of our little circle is out of it, and they're wrong. And we've had people go the other extreme and denominate on playing tapes only. And say if a man quotes anybody but William Branham, I won't have fellowship with them. And that's just as wrong as the other. But you don't look at the truth. You don't say, okay, William Branham is responsible for that attitude, or Lee Vail is responsible for that Parousia attitude. No. The Parousia is a true teaching of God, and what people do with it, is they will have to answer for. And there are people who have a false motive and a false objective who will bring it to a disrepute, but that doesn't make the doctrine itself disreputable. The actions of men around Martin Luther and all the killing of the priests and all that other stuff that went on, the burning of the churches, that brought a reproach against Martin Luther, but it shouldn't have. It should have brought a reproach against them because it wasn't what he taught. You understand what I'm saying here? Okay. So notice then, this gift is to help the church to grow up. Now, growing is a process that shows life abounds, and growth will be prevalent where life is. Now notice verse 17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ." Notice he's saying, your motive, look at their motive. "All lasciviousness to work uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, right wiseness, and true holiness." And we're told that when we do not understand, it brings darkness. Then what happens? It shuts off the light, the life of God to them. That is why Sundays and Wednesdays are so important. We must lay in the presence of the Son to ripen. It takes laying in the vindicated truth to become anointed in every fiber of our body. John said, "Those with an understanding, they stay in the Word. But those who do not understand, they eventually leave it." In 1 John 2:19, "Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist will come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us because they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." So you have an anointing, therefore you know. They don't have an anointing, therefore they don't know. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What man without the Spirit of God can understand the things of God? Now he says, you have an unction, you have an anointing. Why? Because you are laying in it. You are staying with it. And what is this anointing? It's revelation. And it causes you to know. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16-21 from the Amplified Version, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God's working salvation into everyone who believes. For in the gospel a right wiseness to which God ascribes is revealed, both springing up from faith and also leading to greater faith." In other words, this gospel contains a right thinking that takes revelation to see, and once it is revealed, it leads to more and more revelation. As it is written, "The man who through faith is just and upright in his thinking shall live and shall live by faith." So it's all about life coming forth into manifestation. That's what this end time message is all about. It's eternal life. That's why the judge had his picture taken. That picture that was taken there was placed in Life magazine, and it went all over the world. Life magazine. It's all about life. In Philippians 2:16, Paul says, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Notice that Paul calls it the word of life. And in 2 Timothy 1:1, Paul says we have this promise of life, and he says it is in Jesus Christ, and we know that he is the word. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And in Romans 8 and 2, the Apostle Paul says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from Genesis 1:11. Genesis 1:11 is every seed after its kind. That's the law of life. But the Holy Spirit comes in, and you're no longer... See, if you had a dad who was a drunkard and kind of running the family and everything else, but you get born again, that takes that out. You're no longer a drunkard because you've got the law... the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law the law of life is Genesis 1:11. It says that every seed shall bring forth after its kind, after its own nature. And Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And he also said, they are a seed that the sower sowed. So we find this, that revelation of God's word releases the life of God back upon us. How? Because the word is a seed which is a carrier of life. Then, when that seed is opened, the life is exposed and brought into view. In closing, in John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, it says, in him, that like a seed, is life, and the life is the light, and the revelation that gives us our life, and that we henceforth live by it. All right? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the life came into the world, and men rejected that light. They rejected that life. But the life became manifested. And we've seen it, we've handled it. The word of life, 1 John 1:3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our own eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. How? Through the Son. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We also read of the life coming forth from the Word by revelation in the following Scripture. In 2 Peter 1, 2-4, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power, that's His Word, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto what? Unto life. And God-likeness, through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory, that's the doxa, and virtue, that's maturity. Wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now notice he tells us that everything we have need of pertaining to life comes from this word. And in 2 Corinthians 2:14-17, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus, and to make manifest the sweet smell of his knowledge by us in every place, for we are unto God a sweet smell of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a stink of death unto death, and to the other the sweet smell of life unto life. And who is sufficient of these things, for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God speak we in Christ. And finally Paul says, notice we read in Acts 13:48, that we can only believe if we are ordained to life. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life did one thing. They believed. Colossians 3:4 tells us, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall phaneru, then shall you also appear with him in glory in the same doxa. All right. Therefore, we have a promise that at Christ's appearing, when he manifests in his true character, we shall also. In 2 Timothy 1:10 we read, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Notice then that life is brought to life through the gospel. And James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you for your life, because it's our life. And Father, we've allowed ourselves. Father, we've crucified ourselves to the flesh, and we are crucified. Nevertheless, we're living, Father. But it's not us that's living; it's it's the life of your Son that's living in us. And so, Father, we just pray that same revelation He lived by, that we also might live by. Be with us tonight, Father, and may we come into a full maturity, Lord, and just learn to roll with the punches, learn to just to let go, to let God. Keep our focus on the promise that we are His. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace. And give thee peace.